In your bulletin, John 6, starting at verse 41. Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever."
Amen. Amen. So when I began drug and alcohol counseling, and man, I got so smart. I could fix anybody. I remember coming home one day and started counseling Julie. You're all lucky that I'm here today after that. And she basically let me know that I was not to come home and try to counsel her. That I could just leave that there at work. I say that because being a pastor too is, I love to be a pastor. I love to be a pastor for people. I really believe that's my calling. But being a pastor for myself, I really stink at that. I'm horrible at it. I mean, I can go through and I help people through different transitions and major things in life, or I'm happy to walk through with them. But as they happen with me, what I have realized that in the past 9 months, it seems just like one thing after another after another. And I don't know if any of you can relate. It's like every time you get through one and you feel like things are going to get better, and thank you, God, for getting through me this. And then something else comes. And they're not all bad, but it just seems like each one, it just takes a little bit more energy. And with me, and I apologize for this, as I get a little bit more tired and a little bit of energy goes, I have this bad habit of withdrawing or kind of closing up. And so kind of through everything, it's been quite a year. And I'm trying to be pastor to other people, but I'm not doing a very good job at taking care of myself. And Julie keeps giving me that look. And I tell you this morning that I do apologize for that, but I am, I absolutely, as I've been going through this week, I don't know any other place that I could have ever been, that I could have came out on the other side as well as I have come through here because of your love, your tolerance, and just walking with me. I mean, it started out with Jeb asking for our hand, Caitlin's hand in marriage, and a June wedding. I didn't realize how much energy goes into it. I'd forgotten it was because I don't know if we worked that hard for Lindsay's wedding, but it takes a lot of time and energy, and not to matter with finances. And then in Valentine's Day, we were blessed with a young lady. And Mariah came, and that took a lot of stuff with the legal system and doing other things. And it just seems like everything, we lost two men that I think very highly of in our church. And then when my mom passed, it just kind of brought everything to a head. And it took me a little bit of time to process. But I was reading, and it just said, in this one book, it said, "Are you aware of God's presence or not?" I said, like, I'm a pastor. Of course I am aware of God's presence. Well, I should never read the next sentence. It says, if you're aware, then what difference is this awareness making in the way that you're living your life? So, God's been doing some things in me, and I realize that everything that is going on, that God's preparing me for whatever is going to happen here in Goldendale. I'm excited about just the things I'm hearing that people are doing. I can't believe the different ministries. We're a small congregation, and I think we have more going on as far as functional ministries that are actually doing something than a lot of the bigger churches that I've been associated with. I mean, we're doing things that are actually accomplishing and doing God's work within the world. And it's not doing things just to be doing things. So what a blessing it is. I'm looking forward to whatever God is doing. And I'm looking forward to getting back into things like being a pastor. Like not the visitation, having coffee. Lots of prayer. Just coming alongside of one another, and I just really wanted to come out and just say thank you all for coming alongside of me these last few months. So hopefully things will at least be different. I know that for sure. And it kind of leads into this portion that a scripture that Greta read for us today. I love this portion, and it was one of those that I used to not like so much because it was so graphic. I really didn't understand what it was saying. And if I didn't understand it or if I didn't like how it was worded, I'd avoid things. But as I've come to understand it, as I come to have more relationship with Jesus, God is so good. So Jesus has been talking to the people about who he is. But the people aren't prepared for Jesus. So when he claimed to be the bread from heaven, because if you claim to be the bread from heaven, then you can't just be a man, because it's not just a man who comes from heaven. It has to be someone divine. So they complained about them because they weren't ready to receive what he was telling them. They weren't ready to receive his words. And it goes back to, for us, we've been talking about the Pray for Five and praying for people's hearts to be open. You need to wait until that moment that God says, this is the time you're going to go talk to this person. This is the time that their heart is opened. Because if you go and talk to somebody before God has prepared the way, before God wants you to go, their heart is going to be slammed. And they're just going to be like these people here. They're going to grumble about this God that you're talking about. They're going to grumble about you being a goody two-shoes and being better than now. They're going to grumble. The people were grumbling and complaining and they were setting their hearts against the truth. The more they set their hearts against the gospel, the harder it was going to be for them to accept the truth. So think about that. When you try to push the gospel onto somebody, you're helping to strengthen this wall for them against hearing the truth. They're becoming more resistant. They're building a stronger defense against hearing what God might want them to hear. So be careful when you're going out. Make sure that it's God who's sending you. Make sure it's God who's preparing you. Make sure God has said, go. It's really important that we pray for God to open these doors in the lives of those we pray for and wait for God's power and direction before we go in. We don't want to set their hearts stronger against the word. But this one line at verse 44, I think this is awesome. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last one, on the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one on their own power comes to Jesus. It's the power of God that works on the heart and convicts that brings a need, a desire for Jesus. We're part of God's plan. Not one of us in here, I don't care how smart or incredibly intelligent or spiritual you think you are, not one of us came to God because we decided one day, hey, I want to be a Jesus follower. I want to be a Christian. The reason that we came into this faith is because God worked on us and God drew us in. It is the power of God. He's the one who opens and prepares. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I just pray that God continues to draw the people that we've been praying for. And I'm just so glad just by being here this morning, it's like opening this door and saying, hey, I'm part of God's plan. We're part of God's plan together. Then Jesus quotes from Isaiah 54:13, and they shall all be taught of God. So God doesn't just choose us, but he does something to us. He does something in us. He does something for us. He changes the will and the heart through the Holy Spirit and his loving and his living word. They shall be taught of God. So God just doesn't come into our lives. I can't even talk. But when he comes into our lives, when he draws us in, he does something with us. I don't know who got the notion that once you become a believer, you can kick back in the rocking chair and just sit there. Because once you come in that relationship with him, that's when things really get wild and crazy. That's when he does things. That's when he begins changing things. That's when it becomes uncomfortable. And here's a wonderful nugget of hope. Everyone who hears and learns from God comes to Jesus. When humanness becomes intertwined with the Spirit of God, a relationship with Jesus, salvation occurs. And that's open for everyone. Then at verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. All those people were listening to him, and they're really struggling because he's claiming to be the bread of heaven. And you think they're struggling now. I mean, the next part, there's really going to hit them. But then he says, and when he says truly, truly, it's something that you really need to understand. It's something of utmost importance. Something you really need to grab hold of. And Jesus is saying to them, if you believe in what I have told you, that I am the bread of life, that I have come from heaven, if you believe in who I am, then you will receive eternal life. Then Jesus continues to affirm that he is the bread of life. He tells them, you know, you talk about this bread of life that your ancestors ate. They ate this manna in the wilderness. This manna was for their physical bodies. They ate the physical bread and they died. I mean, they lived while they ate it, but they eventually got old and they died. The bread that they ate was not this bread of eternal life. I am that bread, he said. And then he goes into all of that about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. It was confusing to me. I can't imagine a new believer reading through that and trying to understand it on their own. In fact, we had a beautiful experience that helped me a little bit as it opened my heart to share with some new believers this weekend. To eat of Jesus is to believe in him, to trust him as our Savior, have faith that he is the Son of God. Jesus gave his body as a physical sacrifice for the freedom of the world. His body would be broken and his blood would be poured out as a sacrifice for sins. And as I read this, it was sad to realize that the whole world will not be saved through the sacrifice of Jesus, even though the sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient to save the entire world. It is sad because as we read through and we understand the human person and sin, we realize that not everybody will accept him as their Lord and Savior. The people, they just could not, they weren't ready to accept what he was saying to them. They just were not ready. They didn't have this faith. One guy said, you know, a parachute only opens after you step out of the plane. And some people, they just don't have the faith to step out of the plane. And we get frustrated, we get upset, because it seems so simple. One man said, faith precedes sight and prepares your soul to understand and your heart to believe, your will to obey. All of your questions of how are answered by yielding to the authority of Christ. The questions that you have about his word, about your ministry, about life, about your friends, about your job, they begin to become answered as you yield to the authority of Jesus Christ, of who he is. I'm not saying he's going to answer all of them. Sometimes I wish he would, but other times I'm so glad that he doesn't. But I know that he begins to reveal as I step out on faith. Then Jesus continues to refer to eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood as leading to eternal life. Now, he didn't mean to actually eat and drink in a physical manner as the people of that day were understanding, but to be intertwined with Jesus, to be filled of Jesus and to be completely in his will, to be filled of the Holy Spirit, to be in that relationship with him. If you remember when he had the Last Supper with his disciples as he shared the Passover with them, it was bread that he said, this is of my body. And it was the wine that he shared with him and said, this is my blood. It wasn't actually his body and his blood, but afterwards he told them to do this often in remembrance of me. To constantly remember who he is and what he has done. To constantly remember the miracle that has happened in my life as I have accepted him and I've been released from sin. To remember that on my own, on our own, we can do nothing. But as we are in community with Jesus Christ, Goldendale doesn't have a chance. Satan does not have a chance. So in just a few minutes, communion is not for perfect people. for some reason, people think, well, I need to wait to have communion until I'm ready, until I'm right, until I'm good enough, until I've learned enough, until I'm in the exact right place that God wants me to be. But communion, as we come together as a community, is this remembrance that I cannot be who God wants me to be on my own. But communion, as I enter in communion, is this remembering that intertwining with God, with Jesus Christ as His Son, and filling of the Holy Spirit brings me to the place that God wants me to be. Some of us are fast learners and some of us are a little slower. But the communion, Jesus said, to do this often in remembrance of me. He didn't say, hey, do this when you're good enough. Do this when you're smart enough. Do this when people can see the spirituality just dripping off of you. He says, you need to do things like this often to remember what I have done for you, what it means for you and for the world, and so that you can continue to grow in me. It's not magical, but it is remembering that Jesus Christ came, that He lived on this earth. He came to that spot where He was betrayed. We all remember the part where He went up and He prayed to God and said, not my will, but yours, God, be done. But hey, you can take this cup from me. I'm not looking forward to what I have to do. But He did it anyway. And what happened was that the blood and the body that He's talking about here, His body was broken on the cross and His blood was spilt so that the ties of this world that are hooking you down, they no longer can hold you down. The things that this world tells you that this is as good as it gets, this is not as good as it gets. In fact, when we come into that relationship with Him, each day gets a little bit better. If it were not for the grace of God and through the beautiful people that He's put through me, I don't know where I'd be today. But He is so good.